During an African and Shona funeral procession, people spend days together grieving and remembering their departed relative. And sometimes it is an emotional time, and for some people take time to ask themselves what their departed relative taught them. It might be an emotional time, but people are able to reflect and share what their loved one taught them and even gave them. But in some cases, people can't say what their loved one gave them because they believe that maybe the values that they instilled were not good enough. But I've realized that the values that a person instilled in us is as much wealth as even though people cannot see it. But I believe that people can see that this person was groomed well, this person has good values. And I've realized that at the end of the day, when all is said and done, our forefathers left us a lot of wealth. They left us lessons that we can apply even in our everyday lives. And I realized that when I was growing up, my grandmother used to say some things. But now that I've become an adult, I realized that she wasn't doing this because she didn't love us. It was an act of love. But sometimes it takes time and it takes maturity for you to appreciate it. Hi, it's Takuzo Nash, and welcome to the Baobab. Hope that you are well, you're staying safe, and above all, you're traveling, and above all, you're practicing self-care. Whenever we left for the village and on our way back to the city, my grandmother would pack foodstuffs for us. That means we would go home with biltong, maize. It depends on the season, but every time when we went back to the city, we would have something to go with. And it's that most of the time we had to go back by the bus. And because my grandparents' rural area is not close to the city, we had to leave home just before sunrise so that we would catch the bus and be able to get home maybe around 4 or 5, depending on how the traffic was. So whenever we left, our grandmother would instruct us to take an early, because we were young, we'd take a late bath, and then we'd pack our bags, and Gogo would wake us up in the morning, then we have a dry bath, dry wash, and then we'd walk to the bus to the station. And sometimes we'd have to get in the scotch cart because we're still young to walk. But whenever we left, Gogo would never bid farewell to anyone. Would just leave, and then but most of the time I'd ask my grandmother why I wouldn't say goodbye to her friends, but her friends stayed far. You know how rural places are. But we would say goodbye to her neighbor and her friend. So towards out, if we were supposed to leave on Friday, we'd say goodbye to one of her friends who lived. It was a 20-minute distance from our house, and then our neighbor, and then we'd leave. But then I've realized that why Gogo was particular about us not saying goodbye to everyone. And it reminds me of a Shona proverb that says, there are a lot of people who have got a habit of just oversharing, and they tell people their plans and how what they want to do and everything. But it's not everyone who wishes you well. People might be disappointed that your life is going so well, whereas their life is not making sense. So sometimes it's not because they don't like you, but it's because of the energy maybe they release or even what they say that makes your plan not go well as you planned. So sometimes it's better for you to tell people that, oh, this is what happened. I finally got the job when you've already started the job. It's nice for you sometimes to tell people, not everyone. There are some people who are close to you that you might tell, but not to tell everyone or make an announcement or even tell people that, oh, finally we're blessed with a child. When your child maybe is a month old. And like I'm not saying people who do it in advance it's not a good thing. But you know, probably just say there are some things that are best kept private. And only exposed when the time is right. There are a lot of experiences that left us with scars. I remember there was a time that I fell in the third road on my way in Rekaitangwena in Marondera. when I was going to pick up my sister from school and then I fell on the road. I have that scar on two, I've got one scar on the top knee. That's when I fell on the road. And then the other one, I also fell on the road when I was around 8. So I've got two scars from the Thai experience. What this experience taught me is that pain and blood can make you feel numb and confused. And I realized that the first experience is the one that enlightens us. The first experience is the one that maybe makes you realize how great something is or how dangerous something is. Let's say a child keeps on playing with a razor blade. The first time they get cut with a razor blade, they will remember the pain even in their adult years. And even someone who's riding a bicycle, the moment that they fall for the first time, that's the when they know that they have mastered the skill of cycling. So in Shona, the proverb say, excuse me, chakatanga ndio chakachenjedza. People have got a habit of loving to sleep. There are people who love to sleep. There are people who are generally lazy. But at the end of the day, they'll say, things are not working out my way. I've been trying, I've been doing this and that and that. But the bottom line is because they are lazy. Maybe that's why things are not going their way. You have to give a little work. You have to put some work. And you need to be present. Not just for you to say, things are not working out. But if people ask you, what have you been up to? You can't say anything. The Shona proverb says, "Hopa zinandima." It's okay for you to rest. But for you to bear fruit, you need to prepare the land. You need to go out there and sow the seed. You need to do everything. You need to be present for you to, not for you to just say, ah, some people have got things going out their way. Whereas mine are not going my way. There's also a Shona proverb that says, Seka ure mawafa. I remember when I was in junior school, people would say, don't make fun of people because that those same things might befall you. And that's exactly true. You cannot belittle someone's situation until you have passed that phase. You can't laugh at parents who are struggling to deal with a toddler when you're still in your 20s. You don't know what will happen to you when you've got a toddler. And you can't be going out there judging people who by 8 a.m. they feel drained and tired. Maybe it's because they are dealing with a difficult child. And parents who just let their teenage children be. And you'd wonder, why are not these parents strict? Why are not these parents firm? It's because maybe they are doing their best, but their children are difficult to deal with. So you can only belittle or say something about a situation once you have experienced it. Once you have experienced how painful childbirth is, maybe that's when you can say, that's only when you can say that childbirth is very painful. When you have dealt with an adult, with a teenage child, I'm sure if you are a parent, you'd understand that it's not, you might be firm, you might have your own rules, but sometimes your children don't want to cooperate with you. Growing up, people used to play street football. So there was one person who had a ball and the other kids would come in the street and would play with the owner of the ball. But the owner of the ball had the power to choose his team, his or her team members. The owner of the ball also had he had the power maybe to say, this ground is too big, we need to cut the ground. There are some people who were substitutes. And if the moment that the owner of the ball was called to go back home, what it meant was that he was going to carry his ball and go back home with it. So at the end, you would have to stay and wonder how we're going to kill time until it was time for everyone to go back home. And the moment that the owner of the ball got angry, he or she would pick his ball and go home. And if the owner of the ball didn't like you, you just have to be a spectator while everyone is playing the game. The Shona proverb just told us that chisichako masimba shoma. When you don't own anything, the power that you have is limited or little. You can now go out there and say, I also want to be a referee. The way you have done this is the wrong way. When you don't have the power, there are some things that you cannot do. Lastly, I believe in teamwork. I believe in collaboration. I believe that sometimes when you work together as a team, we bear fruit and we have good results. The Shona proverb also says, sometimes you might have a great idea. I might have the resources that you need. Someone else might have something so that the project goes together. But the moment that you keep your idea, I or someone else just uses their resources and the project is not created or we can't do anything. But the moment that we work together as a team, we're able to make the dream come true. I hope you have had a wonderful week. I hope you also have got some lessons that you believe that your forefathers left you. And what are you looking forward to this week? I pray and hope that April is being kind to you and that you find everything that you're looking for. I also hope that you take time to rest, you take time to smile, and you take time to be kind to the next person. During this last week, I've learned that there are people who are mean. There are people who are selfish when they have got their ideas. But sometimes it just takes one person to make a difference in the world. It takes one person to help someone who has been lost, let's say, who has been trying to understand something for close to 2 or 3 months. But then someone who is not selfish and someone who is not kind might be able to make a difference in someone's life. I've realized that there are some things that do not need money. So kindness is one of them. So as you go through this week, may you be kind to everyone. Always remember to inhale positive energy and exhale negative energy.